to WWBC Coco Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco Rockledge and W264AS Rockledge Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online every single place that God made on this planet.
That God put a 5G signal.
If you have Wi-Fi.
That's right. So if you go to 1510wwbc.com, you can hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your listening devices. Or if you want to hear the archives of our shows, we are on each and every Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So you just click that on demand button and you can get any one of the shows there. Of course, that's only by date. So if you'd like it by name or by topic, you can go to our website, which is cetamediainc.com. And of course, we share it on all of our social media channels, Facebook and Instagram and all kinds of, all the other social medias that are out there. So you've easily found. And for 15 years worth of shows, Sita, we've got quite a little presence online.
Yes, we do. We're trying our best, right?
We're doing so good.
I mean, what is it we all want as we grow older, bolder, and wiser? We want to leave the planet a better place than we found it.
That's right.
At least most of us do. You know, when you wake up every day, and such a blessing to be alive, to be breathing, to be able to give back to the United States, the world, our children, our family. And I feel blessed that I'm able to do that. I set aside all things from my mind, my life, my children's lives, everybody else's life, to focus on Mondays for this 1 hour and do the best that we can. And so for our listeners who are tuning in on Mondays, Ellen O'Neill, my co-host, who have been with this show for 15 years, I could not do the show without Ellen. You are a friend with a capital F. Like,
we have
trustworthy
had a great time.
And loyal, the best. And Allie, thank you for being our resident guest forever on the show. It's great.
1 year.
Yeah, and we sit here on Mondays and we talk about things that goes on right here in Brevard County, Florida, and around the nation. Things like social media, is it good for you? Is it not good for you? I heard this morning that they're going to be putting an advisory on some of the websites that it could be detrimental to your mental health with addiction.
Right.
And, you know, we talk about financial literacy. We talk about a lot about education and opportunities. We speak about what the United States offer and how those of us that come here as immigrants, we see it from a different angle. How blessed we are to be in this country. And so today's no different. Our show today, we've got two awesome guests. In studio with us is the president of the Matthew Erickson Academy, a homeschooling, I have to call it an academy. And right. Kim Colucci
Matthew
is Eric here.
Foundation.
It's a foundation. And Kim Colucci is here. She's an ABWA sister and she's a friend of ours. And welcome to our show, Kim.
Thank you, Sita. Thank you for having me.
Yes, and she looks golden brown. She's been out in the sun. You all could just see her.
Living a good life.
That's right. She's living a good life. And I must tell our listeners, our show today is unscripted. It's educational. It's informative. And we're going to give out a lot of valuable information. Our guest on the line who's called in is Dr. Donna Marks. And she's going to share her experience and her expertise being a licensed psychotherapist, an addiction counselor, an author, and so much more. So, Dr. Donna, thank you for taking the time to call in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm very excited to be here.
Yeah, and we are, likewise, we're extremely blessed to have people like you that can call in and share, give us advice, and help our listeners, because as you know, there's so much stuff going on right now in our world with addiction and substance abuses, and whether it's cigarettes or alcohol or hardcore drugs or whatever it is, we all know that 1 in 5 people reports having a substance abuse, a substance addiction. So talk to us a little bit about yourself and your struggle with addiction and how this is helping you in your practice and to help others.
Well, thank you so much, Sita, and thank you for your contribution. Being an immigrant, I loved what you shared, and it's a problem, especially for people who feel displaced, whether they are citizens or not, whether they're here working on visas or whatever the case may be. Addiction, almost every family, it's in the 90s percentiles, almost everybody is affected in some way. Either they have an addiction, many people are addicted and they don't recognize they have an addiction, they just think they have a bad habit, or they think that they have control of a behavior that they have lost control of. Perhaps they have a family member, a child, a relative, a dear friend. Perhaps it's a coworker, but it is rampant and it's worldwide and it's our number one global health crisis.
Yeah, and I read somewhere where self-esteem and self-confidence, a lot of people who identify as having an addiction, they seem to have an issue with self-confidence, self-esteem, and finding their own purpose in life. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think that's true, because when you have something that you're trying to control and that's robbing you of your self-esteem because you can't control it, and because, let's first of all just define addiction. Addiction is doing something and having negative consequences, and you continue to do it and you can't stop. And maybe you've tried to stop 2 or 3 times and you wind up going back to it, and then you continue to suffer those consequences. I don't care how good your self-esteem is, that's going to rob you of a good self-esteem. At the very least, it's going to make you confused about who and what you are. And who and what people are beautiful beings born into this world perfect. And everyone has a mission and a purpose. And unfortunately, often people are raised by people with addiction or behavior patterns that don't foster that child's self-esteem and don't fan that child's purpose and natural talents and don't know how to prepare proper environments so that that child feels secure, feels loved, and is able to attach to another human being in a positive way. So early on, they learn how to substitute that love that they would share and receive with a caretaker with an addiction. Right now, the number one problem for young men is pornography. And the number one problem and addiction for young people in general is social media. And, of course, we always have alcohol, drugs. That's, in my opinion, the number one crisis on college campuses. And it's not addressed. It's ignored. We're told it's normal party behavior, and they cover up how many people flunk out of school because of substance abuse addiction in college, and it's really a shame. But for young people, it's worse than ever. We keep hearing about the fentanyl crisis. That isn't even the tip of the iceberg.
So let's talk about this. The ladies in the studio, we all sat up straight when you said pornography. Because it's something that people can do in the privacy of their own homes, and they feel like they're not hurting anybody else. So why should I not seek treatment for this, right? And you're saying that that is one of the number one addiction right now?
There is over $3,000 spent per minute on pornography. It is the number one problem with young men, because what's happened is, instead of doing other things, you know, people my age and, you know, say 40 and up didn't have such easy access to pornography. And what's happened is, instead of learning how to have natural sexual desires with another human being and go through normal experimentation, normal lovemaking, normal intimacy, normal getting to know someone, they have literally imprinted with pornography, which is not an accurate depiction of sex, nor does it allow your brain to regulate in a natural way to a sexual experience. So not only does it rewire the brain inappropriately and incorrectly like any other addiction, the negative consequence is that person prefers it, learns to prefer it to taking the effort to have sex with someone else. It's very detrimental in a relationship if the person ever even has a sexual relationship with someone. If they're already in a relationship, it becomes a preference over sex. It's quicker, it's easier, and often a better orgasm. But mostly what it does is it destroys the ability to form a secure and intimate attachment with another human being.
Right. And maybe that's why we see our grandparents, their marriages lasted longer, our parents, because they learned how to go to the drive-in movie, how to hold hands, how to be intimate in the right way almost, right? Because you're right. We hear people talking about these websites like OnlyFans and things like that, and people are actually going home after a hard day's work and unwinding, and they've got that right. This is we live in a country where, you know, we fight for freedom and liberty for people, but they've got their wives and children in the same house in another room, and they're watching these things in the privacy of their bedrooms or whatever, and it is destroying marriages. It is destroying relationships. But how do we get more medically trained professionals such as yourself to provide treatment for these people and listen to them?
Well, Sita, I just want to say one thing right here. It's not at home. 80% of porn is between 9 and 5 during the weekday. So this is also a huge cost to the workforce. It's not just the privacy of the home.
Well, thank you for correcting me, but 9 to 5,
I
guess
do a lot
my
of research.
My brain is like, my brain is thinking, well, 9 to 5, you're at work. Once you clock in,
exactly.
you give your employer, right? Ellen is shaking her head. You give your boss that time and loyalty and respect that you're on the professional job.
I was in corporate America for a long time in a male-dominated business. It's unfortunate, but I was a witness to quite a few terminations because of improper use of company
time.
Let's just leave it at that.
Absolutely. Just as somebody will take a cigarette break, a caffeine break, an alcohol break, go in the bathroom and use drugs, they're using porn, except it's worse than the other addictions.
Well, Dr. Donna Marks, you're really giving our listeners something to think about, and employers out there as well, about addiction. So talk to us. Why does treatment fail? What happens that makes the treatment for addicted people fail?
I think the number one reason that it fails is because that we need to change the treatment industry to recognize that there's just what I call one addiction. And that one addiction is what I call the invisible hole, that feeling that something's missing, that I'm lacking something, that I want to fill up that empty space inside of me. And addiction does that, except it doesn't really fill anything up. It covers it up. And then I learn how to replace that empty space, which I could learn how to fill with love of myself and love of other people and esteemable acts of love. Love is an action word. I always teach people when I'm teaching them how to love themselves. It's not a feeling. It's an action. You act with love towards yourself and others, and then you will begin to feel good about yourself. Then you can just break up with the addiction. It won't be something you are interested in doing anymore. It's not a struggle. It's just something you used to do. Thank goodness I don't anymore. So treatment doesn't address that one addiction. People come into treatment, I have a problem with alcohol, or someone else sends them to treatment, and they only address that one thing. I've had patients go to treatment who had two or three different addictions, and let's say they have a sex addiction, they get treated for the alcohol, they go home, they continue to engage in the sex addiction, and then they wind up relapsing with the alcohol too, because they go hand in hand, and because they don't ever learn how to love and like themselves. So I think the number one reason for failed treatment is that comprehensive t- totality of the addiction is not addressed. Another reason is conflicting recommendations. The psychiatrist will recommend one thing. Mental health people will recommend another. Treatment centers will undermine what has been taught or the patient has already learned, perhaps, and they're relapsing. And so the patients get five different directional signals on where to go and what to do, and it's a mess. I think the most effective treatment that has existed since the beginning are the 12-step programs. But even those don't support, they say, go get outside help if you need it. They don't provide it, nor should they. So if someone doesn't know that it's okay to go get outside help, they may not be able to heal the trauma that was underlying that feeling of that void to begin with, that invisible.
Well, you know, as I was preparing for the show, Dr. Marks, I read that addiction, substance abuse, and abuse, any type of abuse in that realm of things, are the largest preventable and most costly health problems facing the United States today, responsible for more than 20% of the deaths in the United States. And I also read that addiction, substance abuse, and contribute to more than 70 other conditions requiring medical care, including cancer and respiratory disease and cardiovascular disease and all these things. Are you seeing that in your practice, that people who are addicted, does it lead to all these things as well?
One of the things that I write about consistently is that the reason I believe it's our number one global health crisis is because people who have cancer, mental illness, heart disease, diabetes 2, all of these stroke, all of these major killers are rooted in addiction. Either someone has used alcohol, drugs, nicotine, sugar, trans fats abusively to their human organs to the point that they cause permanent damage. I'm not saying all. There are a few genetic components. But when we continue to do things that damage our brain, our executive functioning, and our mental health and our physical well-being, these are the things that are at the root of most of these major illnesses and causes of death in the world, including COVID. You know, the people that died of COVID were already compromised, and those compromises were usually due to abuses of their body and mind with alcohol, drugs, sugar, trans fats, and some of these other things that rewire the brain, affect the brain, affect the vital organs, the liver, kidneys, heart, and the neurological functioning. So this is something that we need to really, it's so interesting to me because no one asks those questions. They'll say, how much do you drink? And the doctor will say, oh, we'll cut back a little. There's no education that all of this could
be
prevented.
Well, that's why we're grateful to you. I would love to have you again because, you know, also it costs the federal, state, and local governments billions of dollars every year. Almost, I think I read where it says almost $1,500 per person in America to treat this type of any kind of addiction. So you're saying that addiction isn't a brain disorder? I read somewhere where that's something that you spoke about.
Well, this is what troubles me. It's being classified as a brain disorder, like you're born with a brain disorder. So that would mean all these millions and millions of people who have addiction are suffering from, you know, being born with brain disorders. I believe every baby is born perfect. Yes, there are babies who have birth defects and genetic anomalies. Of course there are. But I think what happens is that addiction, and we know this as a fact, I don't know why it's not presented this way, addiction causes the brain disorder. It's not the cause of addiction.
So, hi, this is Allie. I just wanted to ask, is some of these disorders genetic?
If somebody has had addiction in their family history, just like heart disease or cancer, they are more likely. But there's no gene that says you have to have a cigarette, you have to watch porn, you have to drink. There's no gene that makes you do that. It's just that if you have a genetic predisposition, you might be more likely to become addicted more quickly. But all these things are addictive. Opiates, nicotine, high fructose corn syrup, refined sugar, all of these things are highly addictive, and they're made to get you addicted. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So anybody who's using
No, you're talking my language. Yeah, they're made to make us addicted. So, Doctor, for a listening audience who have tuned in, what a wonderful program we're having today with an author, a psychotherapist, a writer, Dr. Donna Marks, a licensed psychotherapist. We're talking about addictions, and she is a counselor in Palm Beach, Florida. She's worked with over 6,000 clients, and Donna's struggle with addiction brought her to a worldwide search for healing, and now she's giving back. She's found her purpose in life to help us human beings on planet Earth, and whoever is listening, it's a quite interesting conversation. So, Doctor, then are you saying that addiction, some people use addiction as a substitute for love? It's not, though. You can't substitute for love.
Right. They're substituting the feeling that they get, the high, for one and authentic love, which is consistently feeling good about yourself, consistently feeling like you have something to give and contribute to yourself and others.
So let's talk about our high school students, our middle school students, our elementary school students. We're all talking in our nation right now. We live in the greatest nation on earth, and I think all of us, we owe it to ourselves and our grandchildren and the generation that's coming after us to leave this world a better place. So when is it age appropriate for us to start talking about addiction? Because I read somewhere where 12% of high school students and 1 in 3 are addicted to something, whether it's drugs, alcohol, social media, porn, whatever it is. When do we start these conversations with all your loved ones?
Well, I think the conversation starts before you even talk about it. The conversation should start with love being the primary factor in raising children and learning what type of parenting creates the child that will not be interested in harming themselves, that will not be interested in putting poison in their body, that will be nutritionally aware of what their vital organs need, which will be emotionally aware of what it's like to have normal feelings and how to express them in constructive ways without attacking or without being attacked, how to share and receive love in healthy ways, not in perverse ways. And so that starts with the parents providing enough nurturing, enough support, enough warmth, cuddling, proper nutrition, and teaching the children right away that there is enough security, there's enough bonding, there's enough of their needs. The focus is on the needs of the infant, because an infant cannot take care of themselves, and neither can a very young child. But they learn how through the way that they are cared for. So when children grow up feeling nurtured, safe, warm, and that there's enough love, enough food, enough education, enough information, they make very intelligent decisions. And so when they're socially anxious at their first social event, as every human being is, they've already been taught, this is okay, this is normal. You don't have to go drink. You don't have to smoke. You don't have to worry about doing something to be a part of. You're already a part of. Go pick out the person who also looks a little nervous and shy and start talking to them and make them feel better. There's so many tools that are available to help children feel good and secure that they will have no interest in doing the kinds of things that they recognize are not good for them and would be harmful for them and for others.
Well, Dr. Donna Marks, you just described my grandparents. The Indian people, and the people from India who migrated to Trinidad and Tobago and the surrounding Caribbean countries, that's what they did. We didn't have big houses, and we didn't have a lot of wealth, but we had family, we had structure, we had someone who was able to take a piece of chalk and teach you to write an A and a B and string words together and say B-A-T, bat, and teach you to eat your bread and whatever they made, yams from the garden, but we had love. And I think what you're describing is the foundation for everything in life really starts in the home, with the extended family, with those who love you and those who can offer love and support. So then when the big bad world comes at you, you know how to deal and cope with it.
Exactly. And it starts with conception, of really forming a bond with that unborn child before it ever even enters the world, and sending it the right kind of energy, the right kind of nutrition. And then when it comes into the world, that there is that support system that reinforces the value of that human being.
Are you sure you're not my grandmother reincarnated? Because, you know, when I was growing up, whenever they would tell us that, you know, before you get pregnant, you have to think about that person that you're going to lay with. You have to think about the product of that 9 month of, you know, conception and then carrying the child. You have, because your thoughts, your words, your actions, your faith, everything goes into that baby. And when it's born, it's got to be raised properly. You have to be there 100%. The baby then comes before everybody else. And we would say, huh, these people are so old fashioned. What is the problem with them? You know, but it seems to me like what you're saying is your thoughts, words, and actions from the womb to when the child is born, and then you raise it for 18 years, you've got to give it your 100% best.
Absolutely. And every baby deserves that type of nurturing and love and support.
So
that's how they discover, that's how they go beyond any type of addiction ever. It would be yucky to them instead of appealing to them, because they already feel that they are happy and well-adjusted and have interest in people around them that care about them. They don't need to go to other sources as substitutes for that love.
Well, you know, 44% of all referrals to publicly funded addiction treatment come from the justice system, while less than 6% come from the healthcare providers. Where are the healthcare providers missing that mark to spot the addictions early on so that people can seek treatments and call somebody like you, Dr. Donna Marks?
Well, I think that people don't understand addiction. They've labeled everything under a medical term, like high blood pressure, obesity, eating disorder, whatever the case may be. And they don't really understand addiction. They don't understand that the symptoms that they're treating are not the cause. Yeah. So when what we need to do, and it's probably not going to change anytime soon, because we're under a medical model, and a medical model is pretty much ruled by pharmaceutical companies, and everything has a pill now. And so we're not addressing what's causing these physical and mental health issues. We're not addressing that. If we can start addressing that and get in, back into the basics of effective and loving parenting, so that we're not creating this society of people who are starved for love and starved to feel something that they're missing, then we will no longer have this problem. And so we won't need to be constantly in hospitals and treatment centers and on all kinds of pills.
So, Dr. Marks, can you give us your website so someone can maybe buy one of your books or contact you for counseling? We'd love to have your website and, you know, your contact information.
Thank you. It's www.drdonnamarks.com. I'd love people to visit the website. There's over 200 articles on addiction and mental health, and they don't have to do anything other than sign up, and they will automatically receive those every week. I do have a limited practice right now because my priority is working with just a few people at a time in a concierge practice, and also writing. I'm just finished another book on relationships, so I'm really spending a lot of time to reach more people. And I'm so honored to be on your show. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I'd love to hear, if anyone wants to send me a note or an email, I'd love to hear from them.
Well, I'd just like to chime in and say what a beautiful website that you have. And yes, those articles are fantastic. So all of our listeners, if you have any questions about anything relating to addiction or challenges, Dr. Donna Marks has done a fantastic job of putting that website together. Unfortunately, right now we got to take a break and listen to our sponsors on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and we'll be right back right after these messages.
Road 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9, that's Cloud number 9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture.
Are you longing for a taste of Louisiana? Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the place to be. They offer Cajun and Creole staples as well as American, vegan, and vegetarian options. The restaurant is located at 2447 North Wickham Road, Unit 146. All menu items are prepared daily from scratch and made to order. Dine-in or takeout as well as outside seating. Live music on selected weekends. So the next time you have a taste for Louisiana, stop by Lizette's Cajun Bistro, 2447 North Wickham Road.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in Cocoa, Florida. We're just grateful to be alive and well and live to tell the tale on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
That's right.
We're heard on AM 1510, WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and Ellen all over the world.
That's right. On 1510, WWBC.com, you can hit that listen live button, get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, all of the archives of our shows are there as well under the On Demand button. You can choose by date. We're on each and every Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Of course, then we share it on all of our websites and social media, SitaMediaInc.com, and all of the social media is under Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. That's what a great first segment.
Yeah, we could all learn. We learn something every day.
Every time.
You know?
Yeah, every single
time. And our second segment is we're going to learn a lot about homeschooling from the founder and educational director of the Matthew Eric Foundation. Our friend Kim Colucci is here. She's the supporter of our show. And she's also an ABWA sister. That is the American Businesswomen's Association, where we met, where I met Ellen as well. And for our listeners who are tuning in, as you know, our show is fun. It's unscripted. We give out a lot of valuable information, whether you want to learn about, you know, the environment or education or opportunities. You want to learn about financial literacy. You want to run for office. Whatever you want to do to make our life and the life of others better in the United States and around the world, we give you a platform on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. So, Kim, let's chat about homeschooling and why you decided to have the Matthew Eric Foundation as well as the Matthew Eric Academy.
Thank you, Sita. I just want to say I really, really enjoyed that first segment with Dr. Donna Marks. And the biggest takeaway there for me was the importance of parenting and how important it is for parents to not only love their children but nurture their children and make really good decisions for their children and support them. And that's pretty much what we do at the Matthew Eric Foundation is we support parents. We help educate them on their rights and responsibilities as parents when it comes to choosing schools, whether that be homeschooling or another type of school. We started the Matthew Eric Foundation several years ago, almost 9 years ago now, when my brother Matthew Eric Falcone, passed away in 2015 from early onset dementia. He was a school teacher in Brevard County for 10 years. He changed a lot of lives. He inspired a lot of people. And I wanted to do something to memorialize him. So I started the foundation. It was a very small nonprofit. We gave teachers scholarships to future teachers who were seeking to...
He was 39?
39, yeah. Yeah, it's a sad story, but I wanted to make sure you had said something before that resonated with me about everybody has a purpose in life.
Yeah.
And we're born here to do something special and serve our purpose. And I do believe it was my brother's purpose to really change the lives of children. And
he left a legacy for sure.
He left a legacy and he did change a lot of lives and he inspired a lot of people. And it was cut too short. So I wanted to make sure that that didn't end with his passing, which is why I started the foundation, to really continue inspiring and continue changing lives in the realm of education. Like I said, our main purpose was really just to give scholarships to future teachers to really support the education system here in Brevard County. When COVID happened, that changed everything, though. We had a lot of confused parents, a lot of stressed out parents.
Parents who couldn't use the internet, get on a website,
yes,
discipline their kids.
Yes. Yeah. All while they were trying to work at their jobs remotely. It was very stressful for a lot of people. I'm an educator myself. I've been in the education industry for almost 30 years now. So organically, a lot of people were just coming to me asking for advice, asking for help. What can I do with my kid at home? I'm so stressed. So the Matthew Eric Academy was born. Parents really were looking for help during COVID. They wanted to send their kids to school, and there was no school to send their kids to. So we opened a brick-and-mortar location where students can bring their homeschooling assignments and work under the guidance of a certified teacher, and that was me. That was meant to be temporary during COVID to give parents a safe place to drop off their kids. We, of course, had social distancing and masks and everything that was required at the time. And at the end of that first school year, what we found was a lot of parents did not send their kids back to public school. They decided to continue homeschooling. They decided that they really wanted something different for their child.
Right, and they had the freedom and flexibility and individualized education as well as strong relationships.
Exactly. Yeah, I think a lot of parents realized, I could do this. I can homeschool my student. I can work with my student at home. I see that they're getting their schoolwork done in just a couple of hours. They don't need to be away for 6 or 7 hours a day. So we really are kind of doing what parents need. My foundation is really for the parents. So as parents' needs change, the purpose of our foundation is changing. right now our purpose is really to help parents understand you have rights, you have responsibilities as a parent when it comes to your child's education. Public school is great. I was a public school teacher for many years, and public school is a fantastic option for a lot of kids. But it is a one-size-fits-all approach.
Right, and life is about choices, right?
Yeah.
And it's wonderful that we do have a choice with education. And Allie, you mentioned that a couple of your grandkids are being homeschooled as well.
Yes, my two younger ones are, and they excel like crazy. And what Kim mentioned was having time then, they both also have piano lessons and are excelling at that. And then there's another section where they all do, it's called All Saints Athletics. And so they get out and they are with other kids. It tends to be some of the, you know, the objection I've heard is like, how do you learn how to deal with, you know, other kids and conflict and stuff if you're not ever around them? But they do, they get a lot of that education, swimming tournaments and baseball and, you know, everything else that they do. So they're amazingly well-rounded.
So, Kim, choosing to homeschool your kids is not a new concept. We all remember Little House on the Prairie. It was
Correct.
A schoolhouse. Remember?
Absolutely.
It was a little house, and it was individualized attention for the kids. So talk to us a little bit. During COVID, to curb the spread of the virus, a lot of parents, like you said, they said, wait a minute, this is something that I could latch on to.
I think many parents realized pretty much what you just said. Homeschooling is traditional schooling.
Mm-hmm.
If you really look at the history of just human history, kids have been homeschooled for most of history.
Right. Yeah.
Public school is a fairly new idea. It's a very new idea. You know, we're talking 16, 17, even 1800s. Where public schools became the norm. That's very, very recent. And what parents are starting to realize is, hey, I might know what's best for my kid. And I'm not implying that the public schools don't know what's best for children. I think a lot of public schools, public school teachers, administrators, they do have children's best interests at heart, but they have thousands and thousands of students to serve, and it is very difficult to give individualized attention.
Yeah, because we all know every child is different.
Every child is different, and the schools know that every child is different. One thing I do also is I teach at Eastern Florida State College as an instructor in the education department, and I teach future teachers. And one of the first things we teach future teachers is every child is different. Every child learns differently. Every child has different needs. So when you put 30 of those children who are all different in a classroom, it is virtually impossible to meet all of those needs.
Yeah, you can't customize the education then.
Exactly.
Right.
So as a homeschooling parent, you have the ability to tailor that education to your child's needs, your child's wants. You can work with your child at a faster pace, at a slower pace. It isn't, there is no rule book, and that's what a lot of parents are slowly starting to realize. I've met parents that have been homeschooling for years, and they know all this already. I have parents that are new to homeschooling, and they're really nervous about it, but they quickly realize, I could do this. This is good for my kid. And like I said before, it is not for everyone. Kids thrive in public schools. Kids thrive in charter schools. They thrive in private schools.
You have to know your family. Like my mother used to say, you got to know how your pot is boiling at home, right?
Exactly.
So you offer workshops for parents and teachers, anyone, the public, anybody who wants to come in and
yes.
listen and learn.
Anybody who's willing to listen, I will talk to them. Yes, we offer free consultation and mentoring to teachers, to parents. Like I said before, one of our main purposes is really to help parents understand what their rights are. We're very lucky to live in Florida. We have a state that is supportive of parent choice. It has become more and more supportive over the last couple of years. There are now scholarships available to parents who are choosing to homeschool or choose an alternative home option for their student, which may be private schooling. Parents do have a lot of rights, and they have a lot of support. There are so many support, countless numbers of support groups out there and resources, and I'm happy to help parents find those. I have plenty of parents that have come to me seeking advice, and they did not end up homeschooling their student. but they were more aware of what those rights were, or they were more aware of what the process is to apply for a charter school or a private school, or to get special education services for their student or something along those lines.
And a lot of people are not educated on all the Brevard Public Schools offers a wide variety of services for parents.
They do.
And some people just don't take the time. You have virtual, you have schools of choice, homeschooling, and you can also partner with Brevard Public Schools, and you could bring the homeschooling kids to the school if you wanted to use the library and the facilities.
Yes, absolutely. And those are some of the things that we help parents understand. I moved here in 2015 with three school-age children and was overwhelmed trying to, and I'm an educator. I've been in the business for so many years, and I was overwhelmed. And I remember that feeling and how scary it was trying to find where's the best place for my student? Where's the best place to send them? I have three kids, and they were all different, and they did all end up in different places. And I think about that every time I try to help a parent who calls or emails. I don't know what to do. I'm new to the state. I don't understand school choice, or, you know, what do I do if I want to homeschool, or I want to send them to private school, or I'm looking for religious education? So there are just so many options out there for parents, and it can be really, really overwhelming. So right. We do help them navigate that.
And in so many cases, homeschooling, because of the flexible schedule, it allows both parents to bond with their children, and you could work the homeschooling classes around your schedules. And that goes to what our first guest was talking about.
Right.
The bonding, the time, the energy, the effort it takes to raise children. You got to be committed.
Exactly. It is a full-time job. Parenting is a full-time job. So when you have parents that are working full-time and they're raising children, they're working two full-time jobs. Parenting is more than a full-time job because it is a 24-hour-a-day job. But the most important thing we can do for our children is to love and support them, like Dr. Marks was saying. Education is, in my opinion, one of the most important aspects of childhood. So to leave that in the hands of somebody else is scary.
Right.
It is important to make sure you're making the right decision.
My best math classes, although I'm not a good cook, were in the kitchen, where my mom were teaching me, you know, cups and quarters and all of that stuff. And then also when my dad taught me how to work on the car and 5/16 socket wrenches and those kinds of things. And it was that, you know, from a math perspective, people say all the, even when I was in school, I said the same thing. When am I ever going to use this again? You know, when am I ever going to use this algebra again? But you know something, if I could reflect back to it, we always talk about the foundation being at home. And I think about those times that I say, I didn't learn this in school. I learned this from my dad, you know, when I was doing car mechanic stuff, or when I was putting together my first soapbox racer, or, you know, any of those kinds of things. So people discount, I think, not only the bonding, but then the learning piece that they don't really even realize that they're doing.
Right. And
what an impression they're making.
Right.
On
and with homeschooling, for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Kim Colucci, and she's the president of the Matthew Eric Academy. So here's the thing with homeschooling as well. You can make the recess fun. You can decide to take the kids to an aquarium. You can decide to go to the Brevard Zoo. You can decide to meet up with other homeschooling parents in the park. You can have a picnic in the park. And what does it promote? Bonding.
Exactly. Those experiences, like you were saying, Ellen, are so important, and probably the things that we all remember most about. If you ask somebody, what is your favorite school experience? What's your favorite memory from school? It was an experience.
Right.
It wasn't the algebra, even though that might have been your favorite subject. It wasn't.
But it might have been the teacher that delivered the algebra, the way that they delivered it, that you never forgot it.
Right.
Experience. And there just isn't enough time in the school day to learn so many things. Our kids aren't learning how to change a tire or cook in the kitchen. So those are things that homeschooling parents are able to do with their kids and are so meaningful.
So we have like 4 or 5 minutes left. So give us your website and how someone can contact you if they wanted to learn more about the Academy.
So I have a lot of information on my website. It's www.MatthewEric.com. That's Eric with a K. We are opening for registration for next school year. We do offer like I said before, brick and mortar location for your homeschooling students. So if a parent does choose to homeschool and they do find that they need academic support for their student or just a place for their student to socialize with other kids their age, we accept students in grades 3 through 12. We have 2 certified teachers on staff, and both of those certified teachers are certified in math, as well as some other subject areas. So we are able to offer that support that I think a lot of parents start getting nervous about homeschooling when they realize, well, I can't do algebra with my student, right, or I don't remember my history lessons. How am I going to help my child with that?
Or sets. I remember algebra. 3x plus y equals blah, blah, blah. I still have nightmares. But, you know, some of the cons that people, some of the things that people talk about when they say why they cannot homeschool is, some people say it's a lot of work. Some say it's less time for yourself, the inability to work and bring in extra money, too much togetherness, missing out on certain opportunities, facing judgment and bias. And I guess you could combat all of that with what Dr. Donna Marks just told us, which is you're helping your kid.
Exactly.
Opportunities and education go hand in hand.
Exactly.
And I bet you have a lot of people that do have those cons when they call and say, well, would I have to give up my job? Well, maybe not. Maybe you could be flexible and work around it.
And that's one of the reasons we opened the Matthew Eric Academy. Parents do work, but they want to homeschool their students. So this is a win-win. They could keep their jobs and they could send their child to our academy where the parents still have make all the decisions. They choose the curriculum for their student. They choose what work their student is supposed to get done that day. We support them. We offer a place where we help them with their schoolwork, and we allow opportunities for socializing and some enrichment. And a lot of parents just use it for a place for their kids to come hang out. It's a school-like environment. So,
and it's trusted. It's respected.
Exactly.
They're safe. And when the parent makes such a decision, the parent has to think about the impact of that decision on the next 18 years of life for that child.
Exactly. And something else that is important for parents to realize, too, is once you make that decision, you could change that decision.
Yeah. Now, here we go before we end, the cost. Talk to our listening audience on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends about once. Oh, we have time. That's wonderful. So what happens once someone calls you or fill in an online form? What happens then? Because I know with Brevard Public Schools, there are certain services that are offered to homeschooling kids as well as traditional public schools.
Any questions that parents have for me about homeschooling or public schools or private schools or their rights or laws at the state level or anything like that, that's all free. I will consult with parents for as long as they need me to. I will answer any amount of questions for free. My goal is really just to help parents understand the school system and their rights. So I do have a lot of parents that will contact me with a simple question. You know, I think my student needs to get tested. They may have a disability. What do I do? How do I figure that out? So I will answer questions all day long. If a parent does choose to homeschool and they want to send their child to my academy, the cost is $140 a month, and that includes 2 days at the academy. 2 days at the academy is 10:30 to 2:30. Or any time in between. We're very flexible. There's no starting time or end time. I have kids that show up at 11.
Do you have drop-ins?
We do have drop-ins, but it's recommended to contact me ahead of time because if we're full for the day, I do. My biggest challenge.
You're not a babysitting service. It's a full-fledged school. I come there to do reading, writing, and arithmetic.
According to the government, we're not a school because we don't offer curriculum. So that's important to note because the parents do choose their own curriculum. But right now, I do run out of a small space, and that's probably my biggest challenge right now with the academy is we're almost full. I do only have room for 20 students. We're looking to expand. We're looking to grow right now. I'm not quite ready to do that because I do want to keep my costs low. I want to make sure this service is available.
You want to give people the best bang for their buck.
Exactly. Right. We did offer our services for free for a while, which was always my goal, to be able to offer our academic support services for free. But I do have overhead. I don't pay myself, but I do have other staff that
I pay. What's
your passion?
And it shows in your face when you talk about kids. Now, you have a big fundraiser once a year. Tell us about the fundraiser so we could put it on our schedules And that helps the Matthew Eric Foundation as well as the Academy.
Yes, we are a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. So any donations made are tax deductible. We are very grateful to all of our donors and our supporters. We do have one large fundraiser each year. It just happened. It was in May 17th. We try to do it around my brother's birthday since the foundation is named after him. And it's a golf outing. But it's more than that. It's a celebration. We have a big after party after the guys golf. And we raise about $10,000 every year. He was a golfer.
And his name is such an Italian name.
He was Matthew Eric Falcone. Yes,
yeah, Falcone.
We're half Italian. I mean, my dad was Italian.
You can't not get away from a Falcone. It sounds like, you know, like when you read your books and you're like, Mr. Falcone says.
Yes, he definitely has a cool name. And I love that.
Very cool.
That I'm able to have something named after him. And, you know, I know in the future that we're going to grow and do great things. And
you're having something for Halloween?
Alive. We do. At Halloween, we have a big community event, and that's another part of our foundation. I do try to give back to the community as often as we can. We have a community event called Trick or Read. We invite children from anybody who wants to come. They could come trick or treat, air quotes, because we give away books instead of candy. As many books as the kids want to take, they're welcome to take. We have hundreds and thousands of books. Something my husband and I jokingly fight about, because my garage is just filled with boxes
books.
And boxes.
And
of
what
books
are the ages for the children that attend the camp? Because I mean, I know you give them information about scholarships and college and high school and extracurricular. What ages are the 20 kids?
We have students as young as 7 and students as old as 17.
Right. And do you partner with any other homeschooling schools here in Brevard or nationwide? Because I know a lot of the homeschooling moms and dads, they have other people that they partner with and do other things as well to give the kids an outing.
We don't have any partnerships, but we have so many great relationships in the community. Just one thing, after doing this for so many years, we have met amazing people. And we are, you being one of them. I mean,
yes,
we've just met
you.
So many great people in the community that are doing great things. And we just have a common goal of being there for our kids and helping our kids and wanting them to have the best experience in their education. So yeah. I'm very grateful for
that. And what do you say to parents who don't read themselves but expect everybody else to teach their kid? Do you say to those parents, everything starts in the home, like Dr. Mark said?
Everything starts in the home. And I encourage parents to read something every day, even
get
if it's
a library
just for a few
card.
Minutes. Get a library card, read something, let your kids see you reading something, whether it's a magazine, a book, or a newspaper. Reading is so important. It is absolutely one of the most fundamental and important things we could do for our kids.
And really quick, before we go off air, the website one more time and where the school is located.
MatthewEric.com. That's Eric with a K. My email address is on there too. I'm happy to talk to any parents or potential clients. And we are located in Melbourne on Wickham Road behind the Running Zone and across from Eastern Florida State College. We work out of Life's Oasis Church, and we're very, very grateful to them because they donate their classroom space to us. And they're just a wonderful, wonderful church. So we're so happy that we have a relationship with them.
Yeah, faith always plays a part, doesn't
yes,
it?
Another absolutely. Fantastic website, by the way, so all of our listeners
it's easy to navigate.
It's easy to navigate, easy to understand exactly what type of services that Kim and her team are providing. It's awesome. Really, really good. And thank you for doing this. Thank you for having me. For
this
our young adults,
day.
For the people who are going to be taking care of us.
It's always
pretty
goes
soon,
back
right?
to
very true.
You know what?
Scary and
goes,
very true.
It always goes back to faith, foundation, family, a little food, and a little finances. I swear, the 5 F's.
I said I'm just going to be the topic of everybody's TikTok videos, I believe.
Yes.
You know,
well, thank you for being here. This was a great show.
Thank you.
Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in. And we'll make sure we have all of that information posted on all of our social medias and our website. It'll be up this afternoon. Of course, you can always get the archives of our shows on 1510wwbc.com, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time each and every Monday here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. Thanks again for tuning in, and we will see you next week.